stick out like a sore thumb. We've heard that expression, but where did it come from? Why refer to the thumb instead of a different body part? When we talk about sticking out like a sore thumb, we're saying that someone or something doesn't fit in. This morning we want to think about not fitting in. Stated another way, we want to look at the scriptures, God's word, and study about outcasts. If you've never thought about outcasts in the Bible, and you begin to go back to the Old Testament and even the New, you find that there are many outcasts in scripture. When we start thinking about outcasts, we find that people can be an outcast for several reasons. Sometimes it's a physical problem. A person is not able to do what others do and they feel like an outcast. Sometimes it is an emotional issue that causes a person to feel like they don't fit in. There are people who may feel like they are an outcast in their own home or in their neighborhood or even the country where they live. There may be situations, circumstances where a single person feels like an outcast. There may be times where a person dresses in such a way, whereas he or she gets to a certain place, they feel like an outcast. The Bible has a lot of examples of people who feel like an outcast. In fact, you don't have to start reading very far before you read about the first two people, Adam and Eve. And you find that in some respects, Adam and Eve were outcasts. For a time, Adam and Eve were on the inside. They were in a good relationship with God. They were in that special garden. Before the couple fell, they had it all. But after the fall, after that couple sinned, the Bible says that the circumstances of Adam and Eve dramatically changed. You, if you were reading Genesis chapter 3, would find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8 that the text says, Adam and Eve, they hid themselves. An outcast is someone who may feel like he or she wants to hide. That's what Adam and Eve felt like. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 10, Adam says, I was afraid. If you talk to an outcast may say, I was afraid. The last verse in Genesis chapter 3 says that man, Adam and Eve, this first couple was driven from their home in the garden. The only home that Adam and Eve had known, at least up to this time, was taken from the first couple. That way back to that home was blocked by cherubim and a flaming sword. Some of our distant ancestors felt like outcasts. After you read Genesis 3, you find in Genesis chapter 4 another example of an outcast. The fourth chapter of Genesis begins by describing a son. Adam and Eve had a child. The name of this child was Cain. Cain, of course, was someone who killed his brother. That would be Abel. And after that murder, God had a conversation with Cain. God inflicted a punishment on Cain. And as you look at how Cain describes that punishment, he essentially says, I'm going to be an outcast. The people around me are not going to receive me very well. If you turn back to Genesis 3, let's see what we have in Genesis 4. Genesis 4, verse 14. Behold, he says to God, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the ground, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive, I'm going to be a wanderer in the earth. And it will come to pass that whosoever findeth me shall slay me. Cain felt like an outcast. Here is a man who felt ostracized. He did not believe that he was going to win any popularity contests. If you skip forward some chapters in the book of Genesis, and you turn finally to Genesis chapter 21, you have another example of an outcast. This example involves a woman. And not just a woman, it's a mother who had a son. The woman and her son in Genesis chapter 21 provides us of a picture of someone who thought that a brief life expectancy was in their future. You may remember the details of the story. Sarah, the wife of Abraham, had this handmaid, Hagar, in her household. And Sarah reached the point where Hagar was no longer welcome. She wanted Hagar and her son to leave. Genesis chapter 21 and verse 10 is where we find that fact recorded. Sarah, Genesis 21 verse 10 says, cast him out. Get rid of this woman. Get rid of her son. Genesis 21 and verse 14 says that Hagar and her son, they wandered in the wilderness. Now picture in your mind the scene. Here are two people, they're living in a household. And in that household, we would expect them to have all the provisions that they need. But you're kicked out. You're ostracized. You're no longer welcome in that home. Hagar has some water with her, Genesis 21 verse 15. But that water is eventually consumed. Not only is that water consumed, the Bible says in that same verse, Genesis 21 verse 15, that Hagar puts her son under a shrub. She finds a bush for her son. And as she puts her son under that bush, she thinks that her boy is going to die. Genesis 21 verse 16. Outcasts. those who are ostracized, those who are not welcome, can face some very difficult times in life. They may feel like no one cares about them. No one loves them. No one loves their families. When we start looking at the list of outcasts in the Bible, we actually begin to find a fairly long list. We could add Joseph a little later in the book of Genesis. We could add Moses, Jeremiah, Elijah, and yes, even Jesus Christ. As we continue to read through the Old Testament in search of outcasts, we begin to find something else when it comes to those who are ostracized. In addition to finding specific people, some of whom were good servants of God, we also uncover in the Old Testament that some were outcasts because they had certain conditions, contagious diseases. During the Old Testament era, there were some people who had contagious diseases that made them off limits. For example, a couple books later in the book of Leviticus, chapter 13, verses 45 through 47, we are there told that people who had certain skin diseases, diseases such as leprosy, God said that the people who were infected with this kind of disease, they needed to live outside the camp. Today we might say, well, a person needs gowns and gloves and a mask if you're going to visit somebody. But that's not what it was like in that Old Testament era. The people who faced this type of situation, the people who had this kind of disease, they had to live off from others. And the Bible says that they needed to shout that they were unclean. When someone came to their area, they needed to say, I'm diseased, stay away from me. You don't want to get close to me. Don't come anywhere near to me. Imagine having a disease which is contagious, and you have to tell others again and again, I've been ostracized. I'm sick. I'm off limits to you and everybody else. Don't come near me because you also might be infected. In the book of Luke, turning to the New Testament, Luke chapter 17, verse 12, the Bible tells us that Jesus came to a certain village. And in this certain village, there were 10 lepers. These men, according to Luke chapter 17 and verse 13, they lifted up their voice. We might say they shouted. And they hollered at Jesus, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master. You see, these fellows, these 10 men in Luke chapter 17, they knew what isolation was. Don't know how long they had been in an isolated environment. But these fellows had been virtually cut off from every aspect of society. They were definitely isolated. And because they were an outcast and they knew that Jesus could likely help them, they shouted out for his assistance. Being an outcast is no fun. People do not want any disease which somehow separates, which somehow isolates them from others. As we think about people, we also begin to realize that people can have a job which causes them to be isolated from others. And that kind of employment is also not very fun. There are some jobs, even in our time, which sometimes prevents people from having a lot of interaction. Biblically speaking, do you remember from the book of Luke, chapter 19, a story about a man named Zacchaeus? If you were to look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 12, you'd find that this fellow named Zacchaeus, the text says he was rich. He had a lot of money. Zacchaeus may have had a lot of money, but the text also tells us he was somewhat short on friends. In Luke 19 and verse 7, after Jesus said that he was going to spend some time with this man's house, the Bible says all, notice that word, they all murmured about Jesus going to spend some time with this man. Zacchaeus was not in an occupation. He was a tax collector. He was not in an occupation which left him with a lot of friends. In fact, as you look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 7, the Bible says the people, they called him a sinner. That was their view of Zacchaeus. He is not anyone that you want to associate with. He is not anyone that you want to be friends with. Don't invite him over to your house for dinner. Zacchaeus. Same chapter, verse 8. He recognized that his profession was one wherein people were cheated. And it seems that Zacchaeus had not been completely honest with folks at times. He was an outcast who met Jesus. But as you look at the Lord's life, you find that Zacchaeus was not the only outcast who met Jesus. Moving over to the next book, the book of John, you find another outcast, in this case a female, in John chapter 4. The lady was from Samaria, John 4 and verse 7. This was the first strike against her. When we look at outcasts in our day and times, just like in the first century, people are sometimes isolated because of race. There are times where a person says, well, this is my race and this is your race, and because our races are different, I'm not going to have any contact with you. I'm not going to have any interaction with you. I don't want to have contact with someone who is a different race. That was a problem that this woman faced. She was a Samaritan, and the Jews did not have any dealings with Samaritans. Along with the racial problem, this lady had some other issues. It seems that she did not have a good reputation even among the people of her own race and religion. If you notice carefully from John chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says that she came to get water about noon. That is sometimes translated the sixth hour in versions like the King James and the ASV. Now one might ask the question, why did John record the time that this woman came to get water? Why make a special note of this woman getting water about noon? Well, there could be a couple of reasons for that, but one reason seems to be that this was a time of day when a lot of people were not getting water. They were thinking about food. But this lady shows up when some other people are thinking about lunch. Why would she go at lunchtime? Why would she go at a time when people were not generally getting water? The implied answer seems to be that she was an outcast. She was not liked. She was not appreciated. She was not held in high esteem among her own people. Thus, it appears she went to the water place, the well, about this time to avoid hateful comments from people of her own race. But then there was another issue. As you look at John chapter 4, this time John chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said this woman had been married. And not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but the Lord said that this lady had had five husbands. If five men were not enough, the Lord said that this woman had another guy living in her house as he was talking to her. This woman, even though she was a Samaritan, she had made some moral choices which likely left her disliked. It would appear that everything piled up, so she was getting the cold shoulder from not only the Jews, but her own people. Bad moral choices sometimes can sometimes cause people to be outcasts. Now at this point, someone might be thinking, well, okay, sure, we can look at the Bible, Old Testament and New, and we can find a lot of people who are outcasts. We can find several examples of people who were in some state of isolation, but so what? Those people were alive a long time ago, and what significance does that have for me? Well, let's transition to how this can be significant for us. It is perhaps one reason why that God put a number of outcasts in the Bible to help prepare us for a very difficult lesson. God wants us to realize that if we are going to be one of his faithful servants, we also may be an outcast in life. We sing that, we reflect that in some of our songs. Do you remember that hymn which says, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through"? Do we remember that other song which says, "Here we are but straying pilgrims"? We can sing those words and those sounds so good. But do we really believe that? That we are strangers, that we are pilgrims, and that we sometimes are outcasts in this world? When we become a Christian, hopefully the person who has taught us the gospel has given us some indication that if we are going to be faithful to Christ, more than likely we are going to be an outcast. Shortly before Jesus went to heaven, he has a special discussion with his apostles. The place for that special discussion is in John 14, John 15, John 16, and John 17, shortly before Jesus is taken by the mob and goes through his six trials. In John 15, verse 18, if you were to look at that verse, the Bible there talks about hate. The person talking about hate is none other than Jesus. Now, you might not think, before Jesus goes to the cross, before he's arrested, you might not think that one of those final topics that Jesus talks about in his final hours is hatred. But that's exactly what John says. In John 15, verse 18, Jesus told the apostles, "If the world hates you," and he was indicating that the world would hate his people, he said, "You remember something. You remember that it first hated me. If you are an outcast for my sake," Jesus said, "you remember that I was first the one who was cast out, rejected, not appreciated, not honored by people." The word hate in John 15, verse 18 is another way of describing an outsider. The Lord said there were people who did not welcome him, and he told his people, "The same is going to be true for you." The world has always hated and always will hate those who are trying to truly live the Christian life. Because as James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. We can't get along with the world if we're truly trying to live the Christian life. The world is going to chafe. The world is going to see the principles that we stand for and says we can't have none of that. Christians in the world are not going to the same place, and they can't be on the same page. When Christians then begin to discuss Bible matters, whether those are doctrinal matters or whether there are spiritual truths, moral truths that we're covering, there are going to be some problems. When we begin to discuss with people that religions outside of the one that Christ established are false, or we affirm, as Steve read at the table, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, there is no Savior other than Jesus Christ, or we talk about the necessity of being part of Jesus' church to be saved, we affirm that those who are outside of Christ are lost. When we talk about a specific way to worship God, when we begin to declare that certain moral activities, one of which would be same-sex marriage, are wrong, or we stand up and we say there are no X sexes. Abortion is murder. It is the taking of human life. When we affirm that climate change, if indeed that exists, is not man's most serious problem, Christians are seen as being outside mainstream thought. They're regarded as nuts, kooks, wackos, people who need to be isolated from the mainstream. That's okay. The next time someone comes along and says to you, you're not welcome here, or your beliefs make us uncomfortable, think about some of the people in the book of Hebrews. If you were to look at Hebrews 11, starting with about verse 36, you'd find that there were some people who lived for God in the past. And in Hebrews 11, 36, the Bible says there were trials. Trials of mocking for those who tried to live faithful lives to God. That's another way of saying that there were people who jeered. There were people who booed. There were people who heckled. There were people who taunted the servants of God. They mocked them. Thus, when we look at our day and time and we find those who are truly trying to live for Christ and they are treated as an outsider, when they're hated, John 15 and verse 18, don't be surprised, don't be shocked, don't be stunned, and don't be discouraged. Being an outcast has never been fun, and it is never going to be fun. But being an outcast when it comes to standing for what's right is often part of the Christian life. Hebrews 11 verse 36 says there were some who were beaten because they were trying to stand up and live for God. Those who are confined to prison are sometimes seen as outcasts. A person is confined in prison for their religious faith. They may be looked down upon even more. As the Hebrew writer talks about being an outcast in Hebrews 11, verse 37, he says some were stoned. And then he talks about, same verse, Hebrews 11, verse 37, people sometimes being sawn asunder, cut in two, because they were seen as such an outcast in the world. It's one thing to go through life and have no friends. That's no fun. Lunchtime comes, maybe we're at work, maybe we're at school, and because we are an outcast, no one wants to sit with us in the cafeteria or the break room. We need a ride home. We need some help, and someone says, well, I know about you and your beliefs, and I'm not going to give you the ride home. No one wants to work with us. No one wants to study with us. Others have friends, but we don't. As unpleasant as all those items can be, imagine being such an outcast where we are sawn in two. We might be called a racist. We might be called a hater. But at least we're not sawn in two. If you've ever felt like an outcast, or at some time in the future you ever feel like an outcast, let me encourage you to reflect on a couple verses from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verses 13 and 38. I want to start by reading the last part of verse 13. Confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's who we are. That's who God says we are. So if you feel like an outcast, remember Hebrews 11, 13. This world is not our home. We sing about that, and we need to make sure that we remember that. Along with Hebrews 11, 13, we have this information in Hebrews 11, verse 38. He says, of whom the world was not worthy. As the Hebrew writer talks about the people who were afflicted in various ways, he says the world was not worthy of these people. The true servants of Christ are the people that God pays attention to. The true outcasts in life are those who are outside of Christ. as we look at our existence on earth right now, the in crowd, with all the friends, may seem to be, at least for the present time, the people who have it all. They have their special groups, they have their gatherings, and maybe they have some prestige. But the in crowd, God says, will one day be the out crowd. And not only will that in crowd become the out crowd, they will be the out crowd forever. There is nothing wrong with being an outcast for God. There never has been. You can go back to the early time in the book of Genesis, all the way up until the present. Those who have lived in the past have often been an outcast for the faith. In our time, with us, need to be people who are willing to be standing up for God. Be bold, be heard, and be people who are persistent. When we think about Jesus, he was an outcast to the point where he was crucified. And not only was he willing to be an outcast, he was willing to welcome the outcasts in his day and time. If we ever feel like an outcast, we need to remember that there's a home for us, an eternal home. And our home, we're strangers and pilgrims, it is not of this earth. Hebrews 11, verse 13. It is for the people who are willing to be an outcast for God. Are you an outcast? Do we realize that this world is not our home? That we are strangers, pilgrims, temporary inhabitants, and we're marching on to Zion. This morning, if you have wanted to fit into with the world, realize from what James said in James 4, verse 4, that that's not going to work out very well. He says that makes us an enemy of God. We can't be on both sides of the fence. Someone says, it's difficult for me to be in isolation when it comes to the world. Well, the Lord talked about one time, gouging out the eye, cutting off the hand. Not literally. But he talked about that in terms of making a sacrifice for the kingdom of God. And sometimes we need to be that outcast. Are we willing to pay that price for the Lord? Some are not willing to be an outcast because they won't stand up enough to believe in Christ. Some will say, we believe, but we're not willing really to repent. Are we willing to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins? Those are fairly easy steps. The real challenge becomes walking with Christ, hand in hand, day by day, being willing to live as an outcast for Christ. If we're not willing to do that, will we not consider the outcome of that and change our ways? Let's do that now. Let's do what's right as we stand and sing the selected song.